All right, you guys, we are live.
Hello, good evening.
We are definitely going to get into this great topic today, but before we get into this topic, we're going to play our little intro and then we'll get started. So, I'm going to play the intro.
What is up? What is up? What is up, y'all? It is another day, another time, and another week for We'll Talk Monday.
All right, ladies. So, I just want to welcome you guys onto the podcast today, Real Talk Monday. We are going to be discussing being mothers to teenage daughters in this generation. So, I'm pretty sure this may be a heavy or hot topic in many aspects. I know we have a lot of questions, but I know that we're not going to get through all of them, but I hope we can get through most of them. So I'm going to start off with a prayer, and then after the prayer, I will introduce you all on how I know you guys, and then I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Father God, I ask that as we are on this platform, that you will give us, allow our voices and our actions to be minister grace and love to all those that are listening and watching. Father God, I ask that as we journey through this lifetime, through this world with our girl children, with our teenage children, that you would just give us the abilities, the strength that we need to continue to be the mothers that you would have us to be and our daughters to be, the young ladies, the young women that we are raising them to be, dear Lord. We know that we're not perfect and they aren't either, dear Lord, but I ask that you will continue to strengthen all of us in every aspect of our life, dear Lord. Dear Lord, I thank you today. Thank you for James giving us this platform, Father God, and I pray that you'll keep us safe, the world safe. Please be with the families and the victims of those who were shot today and killed in Louisville in the mass shooting, dear Lord. And please continue to be with the families that lost loved ones here at the Covenant School a couple of weeks ago, dear Lord. Just heal this world, heal our communities, and keep us safe. In your son Jesus' name we pray, always and forever. Amen.
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 All right. So, a little quick intro on how I know each of you ladies. Jessica is one of my sorority sisters and also from my hometown. And so we've known each other quite a while. She has a daughter. Tell me her name.
Anaya.
Anaya. I knew it started with an A. Anaya, is she 15 or 14?
15.
She's 15. I thought so. I knew that all the girls were close to the same age. And she is 15, so I wanted to invite her on here because I know that we are all different women, but strong women in our own right. So I know that our perspectives will be great for the most part. Dr. Kelly, I got my second master's when she was getting her master's at Lipscomb in organizational. Was yours still organizational leadership? Was that the
Yes.
okay? Because I know they kind of was switchy in there.
Looking
So.
up on it.
Right. So I met Kelly there. We instantly bonded, and she has a beautiful daughter also. And is your baby 14?
She's 15. She'll be 16 in November.
Okay, so she is 15 too. Okay, great. They're all 15.
Yep.
So anyway, so I want you guys to do a quick introduction of yourself, and then at the end, I will let you guys advertise your jobs, your businesses, or whatever it is that you guys do, outside of being here with me today.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go, please.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just took over. My bad. Well, my name is Jessica Rogers. Like she said, I'm from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Yeah. I'll wait till later to say the rest.
And And I am Dr. Kelly Martin. I am from Chicago, Illinois. Been in Nashville for a while. I started my educational matriculation here at Fisk. So I actually, in August, I will have gotten here 25 years ago. Wow. I know I'm really telling my age, right?
Yeah. No, it's just crazy that you can be somewhere for so long. Like, you know, I'm half of that here in Nashville, not quite 25, but yeah.
That's I came back. I left. I've only been back here now about 5 years.
Okay.
I got here the first time 25 years ago. And it's just my daughter and I. I was a one and done, no other kids. She's 15. Like I said, she'll be 16 in November, so it's just us.
What day?
November 7th.
Oh, I thought she was gonna say mine's November 2nd. So I understand her personality there. I get her personality. We got the same. We born in that same time period.
Scorpios are something else.
That's something else. My big brother's birthday is actually November the 7th. Yeah. So, which of course that's the boy. So, you know, it's a little different, but, his November 7th. Well, welcome, ladies. Thank you guys for being here. We're going to get into these questions because these conversations usually go really fast. And sometimes it may venture us into a different question that we don't have listed, and that is completely okay. So the first question that I want to ask is, it says, we live in a world much different than how we grew up. Some of our perspectives on life are different. How do those differences enhance the relationship you have with your daughter? So in the world that we live in now, and the perspectives that we have on life, it is somewhat different from the children these days. So how do those differences enhance the relationship you have with your daughter? So how do they enhance the differences? How do they enhance your relationship?
I think it's good conversation pieces, right? So like, she enjoys hearing about my childhood and how we used to get on the bikes and ride across town and, you know, not come back until the street lights came on and there were no, you know, cell phones, and it wasn't very safe to be honest.
We're
talking about it. You really realize we really probably shouldn't have been doing it. It's a great conversation piece, and I think it helps her understand me a little better, and it opens up the door for her to express the differences now and how they're growing up. And I've also noticed too that she's taken to some of, you can't tell this baby she wasn't born in the 90s. You can't tell her she's not a 90s baby from the way she dressed, from the music she listens to. There are so many different elements that she's taken a hold of that she loves. And I realized it very, very small. We went to Walmart one day, and this is how I know it's a long time ago, because Walmart makes me itch and I just don't go there anymore.
I don't either.
they used to have those little bins with DVDs in them. And she was little and just rummaging through one day, and she picked up a Punky Brewster DVD collection.
I remember watching
I do too. This child watched Punky Brewster every day for years. And I thought that it was so cool that she had grabbed a hold of something that was similar to my childhood to take in hers also. Those are the kind of things that I look for with her in discussing the differences in our generations.
I agree too. Me and my daughter, we both really like music. She listens to it all the time, 24/7. Whereas I do, like, it fills my day, but not as much as her does hers. But, you know, I'm like, y'all don't have real music. Like, so, you know, I do like rap music, but I like the older rap. Like, I like Tupac, Biggie, Snoop. Mm-hmm. And so that was my rap. And so I let her, she's not a big rap person, but letting her listen to the music back then, like, she, hearing her playlist, a lot of it is older music. A lot of it is those things. And like, I'll get nostalgic and I'll have her come watch a movie with me that I love watching when I was growing up, and she loves it too. And so, you know, just seeing like her, like us being able to have a relationship off of her, and I'm like, oh, that's so old or whatever, but her really taking to it is really cool. But also, I guess me too. I'm like big on safety. Like, I understand we could do these things, but you can't, you know. So, it kind of gets on her nerves too sometimes when I talk about the past, because of course it's very different from how they function in today's with just going over to somebody's house, you know. So,
and the thing about it too is, oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You can go ahead.
One of the things that I was thinking about too is just the technology of everything. Like, I don't know if there were the same amount of pedophiles and predators back then. We just know of it, like, we're so aware now because we get bombarded with information from social media, news. So we see it and we feel it. Well, it's more, it's not the same. Times are different. Are times different, or do we just know more about it now?
Right.
Once you become a parent too, everything gets heightened anyway. It's like, whereas you didn't care about it before because you was invincible. Now it's like, oh, I got to actually protect this person. So
got to keep her alive.
And
I think it's a little bit of both. I do think that social media and the news sources and just empowering people at this point has made it out more, right? We know more about what's going on in the world. We're not waiting for a newspaper or the magazines to come out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I guess for me to answer the question, I would say that keeping the morals and values intact, right? Mm-hmm. That to me is an enhancing I don't want Ava and them to get locked in the bathroom. We live and I'm doing all this. Sorry, y'all. I think keeping the morals and values in place is an enhancement. Although it gets on her nerves, just like you all say, certain things that y'all just mentioned gets on the kids' nerves. But, you know, as I, like in my coaching and consulting families and educators, my thing is a lot changes, but morals and values and respect does not change. Those things are forever needed. I don't care what generation,
generational.
Like our parents and grandparents are probably saying that we needed it. This generation needs it way more than I think that we ever did. Like for real, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that is the piece that to me is the enhancement of the growing up, where, you know, I'm not saying that I'm a fan of spanking or discipline. I'm not, or, you know, spanking or whooping or switches or whatever people want to call it. But, you know, I think too, because we were different then and our parents and grandparents were different then, things were looked at differently. Do I know that people abuse it in the worst way? Yeah. But I also feel like just because you don't physically discipline your children doesn't mean that you're not supposed to discipline your children, right? There are so many ways to discipline your children. Had I have known some things earlier on compared to what I know now, would I've probably pivoted a little bit differently when she was? I would have, right? Because Ava really wasn't a child that needed to really be even, you know, popped, even if it was a pop, you know. So again, I think that as times change and things evolve, it's not like you got to wipe things away. You just kind of have to pivot per child, right? Every kid is different. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that would be what I would say. The enhancement would be.
Gentle parenting is for gentle children.
Who's gonna like my mama, girl? She's a gentle parent. You know, and I'm going to be honest, Ava was definitely a gentle child. My challenges with Ava have just been as a teenager. It's been harder now because she didn't have temper tantrums when she was little. She has them now. Like, seriously, she cries and has fits now. And I'm just looking at her like, girl, like, you ain't do this when you was 3 and 4 when you were supposed to. What's going on?
I was totally opposite. She was a very strong-willed child. So she would have tantrums for like 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'd be calling my grandparents like, come get her. Because I can't do it.
Really?
Yes.
And she's more mild-mannered now.
Yes, and like, but even as a teen, I have to kind of, that's kind of where that relationship goes to. I have to remind myself as what I was doing as a teen, and because we are kind of the same in that era. Like, she's very laid back, but I have to remember, okay, I was in my room a lot. I was in, you know, I have to remind myself and go back to like, what she's doing is not out of the norm, but because we like, we're on your phone or whatever. Just because I didn't have a phone doesn't mean I wasn't in my room. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there are certain things I have to go back and be like, okay, stop obsessing because it's not that abnormal, right? And so, but yeah.
Well, the part that's hard for me, like even in remembering how I was, first of all, that child is a way better kid than I ever was. Like than I ever could. I don't know that the whose prayers, maybe it was my grandma. I don't know who it was or what happened, but she's a much better child than I ever was. When she was smaller, she had one temper tantrum. She was, I won't say she was a gentle child because Jocelyn was fearless, but she was always bubbly and excited and always wanting to get into stuff. And as a teenager, she's morphed into her own little human. And we probably argue most days. At some point during the day, we're going to disagree about something. But the part about it is not so much that I think about not just how I was as a child, but my mother and I didn't get close like Jocelyn and I are now until I was an adult. I think I was maybe 19 or 20 before I really realized a shift in my relationship with my mother. We talk about everything, like the bad and the ugly, you know, and so that makes it harder because then as a parent, my wheels start spinning like, well, she's telling me this. We've talked about it. Now, what is she doing? Is she going to tell me the next time she feels this way? Is she going to tell me when she's going this? You know, and I begin to obsess in that space. And it really takes me stepping back, taking breaths, and honestly deciding and accepting is more of the word I'm looking for. Accepting that her path is hers and my job is to do nothing more with her to handle the path that she's on for her life. It's her life, you know,
That's
regardless
right.
to what I want for her, regardless, you know, I can have ambitions for her and hopes for her, but ultimately it's her life, it's her journey,
That's
it's her
right.
path. I just got to get her there so she spends as little time on the couch talking about me as possible.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's a
Yeah.
fact. That's a fact.
Yeah.
So what was your what when did you guys have your I have a teenager moment? Do you all remember?
It's when I saw the like that, you know how they have that, like they're fine one minute, then the attitude. I was like, what? I didn't say it. I was like, okay, every girl must not do that, but it happened. I was like, oh, what's wrong with you?
That was about like for me, after she started her cycle, that I started noticing like this mood around that time. And when I say it was a mood like one of us got to go. I don't know who it is, but one of us got to go. And I
It's
thought
not
in
gonna
that
last.
moment, but then, you know, and I learned immediately that I can't respond to her in that moment, that season, that though that week, like I would any other week, because it is just she don't hear. It's the wine. It's I mean, she moody, like nasty moody, and I'm like, girl, like you better go in your room and shut your door, like right now, like. So that was with that first time she did that is when I realized that she was a teenager. That in that moment, that's when I realized it.
My moment, we were at my mom's house and it was the morning and she was just miserable. And it was like, you have not been awake long enough to be having that bad of a day. And my mother, she came upstairs, she sat and she had breakfast with us, and then she went back in the basement, went back in the room. And my mom was like, what's wrong with her? I was like, I don't know. She woke up today. Like this is how she does. And I was talking to my other girlfriend who has a daughter too, and it's just like, I don't know what's wrong with her. They woke up. It's the morning time. It's just what they do. And it was like, okay, that was the actual act that let me know, like, you got a teenager. But the physical, when I looked at her on her 15th birthday in November, she walked out of her room and she had on this pretty brown dress and it was satin and long and it had a split and she had gotten her first sew in. And I looked at her and her even, and I think that's when her friends like caught it too. Like it was almost like a coming of age because they were standing. We're trying to get out the door to make our dinner reservation. And they're standing in the living room crying with each other. And I'm like, what?
I would be like, what y'all?
Her dad and I were looking and we were like, what is going on? And her best friend from they've been best friends since fifth grade. And she said, she just looks so pretty. I don't know what I'm saying. But we looked and it was a lot of tears at night because even when we got to dinner, they all got up. It was the three girls it's four girls that she's really close with, but the fourth one lives in North Carolina. But the other three dinner with us and they all got up and they talked about how good of a friend she was and how much they loved her. And we sit there and she sat there crying and they sat there crying. And her dad was holding her hand and it's just like, what is happening?
I think I saw those pictures. I think I saw some pictures you had posted from the birthday. Yeah.
It was the oh my God, look at her. Like, oh my gosh. I have a little woman on my hands. So that was definitely the moment where it was like I looked at her and saw it. It wasn't an action that did anything. The action was at my mama house and she was nothing had happened.
I think the physical part for me with Ava was probably when she walked into high school her freshman year and it was just one day and I just remember it's like one of those moments where the sun was shining right. She had on these cute little jeans and a cute top and she had her hair straight and I thought my baby is not a little baby anymore. You know what I'm saying? She's growing up. She's a teenager, you know, seeing her in community with her friends. And, you know, I remember many years ago, she said, you and my daddy cursed me. And I'm like, how do we curse you? She was like, I have your backside and I have my daddy's lips. And I said, girl, let me tell you something. People pay for that. You are going to appreciate that one day. Okay. Right. So as she's grown into this teenager girl, she loves both of them now. So like, what is the complaint? You know? And I remember when I found out I was having a girl and I was on the phone with her dad and he just got really quiet. And I'm like, what is the problem? And he said, like, have you looked at yourself? Like, this is going to be like another headache. I'm going to have to deal with these boys on my daughter. Like, you know, which I thought was really sweet, but I'm just like, well, that's just a part of the process. You know what I'm saying? So I think in those, you know, reflecting back to those moments and remembering and seeing all these pictures from when she was little that keeps replaying in our story. And it just makes me sad. I'm like, oh my God, this baby is my baby. And I say it all the time. I say it to her all the time, Mom. And now it's like, Mom, don't start, Mom. I'm like, oh my God, where's my baby?
I send Naya those pictures when they pop up in my camera roll. She's like, Mom, oh my goodness. I'm like,
I send them too. I think that's something that we all do. And so I'm 5'9". She's 5'10". And I used to tell she's always been like the tallest little girl in her class. And she used to really hate it. And I told her, baby, just give me about 10, 15 years. You are going to thank me. You are going to be so happy that you are built like your mama. Right now, I understand it. You feel awkward. Everybody walking around like a stick.
Right. You're not. Right.
You know, so it was a real conversation that we had to have because she did feel like the odd man out. She did feel like, you know, she didn't fit in because of me. Like, because of me, because she's built like, she even walks like me.
Right, right. Yeah.
Naya is the same. She hasn't got 5'10 yet, but I'm 5'9. She's almost a little bit taller than me. We debated mm-hmm. a lot, but she gets mad when people ask her if she playing sports, because she's very academic minded, but she's not a sports person. So mm-hmm. like, that's where she feels like she has to do something because she is tall. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. But I mean, she's never complained about the heights, but she always stood above everybody else. Right, right. I never had trouble finding her.
She's taller mm-hmm. than me now. And I told her, like, listen, if I ever feel like I gotta put my hands on you, we gonna go outside and right. square up. We gonna call your right. daddy because you can come back here after that.
Right, like, that's me, girl.
You not finna yes. get mad. She does stuff like she'll kiss me on my forehead to remind me that she's taller.
Oh, right. Oh my God. I already know. That is so funny.
That and I'm like, yeah, you got to cut that out, girlfriend, because this is not what you want.
Right, exactly. Not what you exactly. want. Exactly.
Yeah, it's
that
funny.
Is funny. How have you all had to adjust as a parent since your child has become a teen? What has been some of the adjustments that you all have had to make?
Talking. Well,
for me, it is, you know, balancing, again, good boundaries with her, but balancing, because I realized I didn't grow up, me and my mom didn't have good boundaries. So fixing that and making sure she has her space and mm-hmm. I'm not impeding upon that, but also understanding for her, like socially, like boys and all that, mm-hmm. adjusting that, like, you know, because my mom, I would say my mom was just like, let me do whatever, but I wasn't that child to just do whatever. You know, mm-hmm. and so, you know, just kind of, I've really had to make sure I'm kind of being age appropriate, but not mm-hmm. also allowing her, like you said, to be her own person mm-hmm. and to mm-hmm. to let her walk her path.
Right.
Just kind of guiding her on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The adjustment has been, I have to talk about the things that make, I have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I have to talk about those things that I don't want to talk about her with. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like ignorance is bliss. Like, it's a great mm-hmm. place to be with certain things. And those hard conversations and those hard things, I would prefer to be in the dark, but it's just not the relationship that we have. And I recognize that I can't do that with her, because she needs me to listen mm-hmm. and she needs mm-hmm. me to be in that space. And it's hard because as a mom, you just want to fix it, right? Like everything mm-hmm. she brings to me, it's like, okay, fix it. And mm-hmm. one day she told me, I don't need for you to fix it. I just need for you to hear me. Like mm-hmm. I'm going to fix it. I'll figure it out, but I just need for you to hear me. And so it's a hard space of pulling back there. And that's been an adjustment. So just knowing when to step in and when not to step mm-hmm. in is an adjustment, because like mm-hmm. I'm a fixer by trade, by profession, mm-hmm. like that is my job, to see the mm-hmm. problem and correct it, see the problem, mm-hmm. create a plan, and then go. Mm-hmm. So I have to turn that off now with her, because she does have to find her own way. And mm-hmm. even when I know that her going through, she's going to find her way, is the way I told her to do it, or the way I would have suggested her do it, she still has to get that experience for herself. So mm-hmm. the adjustment is learning to shut up and let her talk and let her go through, and knowing when she needs mommy.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I pretty much echo what you both have said. Let me acknowledge, hey, Daisha, thank you for being here. Hey, Michelle, thank you also for being here. So to answer that question, my adjustments have been, you know, when for me and Ava, you know, when she was little, it was whatever mommy say. I could point to a house that looked like 1,000 rats and 10,000 hogs lived in it, and I say, if I moved in that house, would you move with me? she would be like, yes, mommy, I'm going wherever you go, right? Now, if I say yes, she'd be like, you can just let me go to Grandma and Papa's. Right? She ain't going, right? And
right.
So, okay, I get it, right? I ain't going either, for real. But I just use that example because when they're little like that, for us, she's my girl. Like, loved her mommy. And I think she still loves me too, but the adjustment has been how to communicate, right? So me and my mother had a wonderful relationship growing up. My mom was my best friend growing up. We talked about every single thing. And I knew that if I took anything from my mother, me and my mother's relationship, it was that for me and Ava. So we have that. And I'm super blessed that we have that, right? Yeah. I'm not saying she tells me every single thing, but I'm pretty confident that I know about 90% of stuff, right? Yeah. And if she gets caught up in something, she's finally learned, don't lie, right? Just tell me. The consequences are worse when you lie. And then I'm angrier at you. So just be honest first and foremost, right?
Yeah.
So the communication has had to change because I've had to learn to listen. And that's still work, right? That's still work. We have learned in the moments that we are arguing, I don't need her to be in my personal space, nor do I need her to touch me or walk past me like she gonna bump me. We don't play like that. You just don't do that. She doesn't like me to talk with my hands or to act like I'm going to get close to her in any kind of aggressive way, right? So we have had to learn those healthy boundaries. And if it's at a point to where she's screaming and yelling and I ask her once to remove herself from my space, most of the time she may listen. Sometimes she just feel like she got to keep going, but one of us got to leave, because if not, then it's probably not going to look too good. You know what I'm saying? So we are still growing and learning in those spaces, but I've always wanted Ava to know that she has a voice, right? Mm-hmm. I need her to know that. And even with me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So at school with teachers, I remember in elementary school, I always would say, I don't want, my baby's a butterfly. I don't want her voice to be watered down, right? I want her to always be able to advocate for herself. So for us, the biggest thing for me would probably be just making sure our communication, we can do it. We can respect each other's boundaries, no matter the mood. I always want her to express herself and tell me how mm-hmm. she feels, but not when she's screaming and yelling, because I can't take that. I can't take that. And she don't like when I do it. So don't feel like you can do it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that has been the biggest challenge, but the most important one, because my mama was a yeller. She yelled. If dishes wouldn't wash, she yelling across the house, right? If we came home and it wouldn't swept it, she yelling across. And that was one thing we all said that we didn't want to take, but guess what? We all did. But now that I recognize it, you know, I do want to do better. Again, I still fall short, but I'm definitely better than I was before. So I think that's probably one of the things for me, for sure.
It's so interesting because it's so interesting because you talk about them having a voice and finding their voice when it's little girls and their moms. It's little girls and just their moms. They do kind of look to us for everything. And that's something you use a perfect example, because that was something that we would always talk about. Like, oh, if it was, you know, what about a one bedroom? If, you know, we got a shared room, like it's like, okay, well, you know, it's fine. And while we haven't had to do that, as we've grown, her thing, we can't share a bathroom. We cannot share a bathroom. Mm-hmm, like, never share a bathroom again. Mm-hmm. If it's one, right. We can have one bedroom, that's fine. Right. But she's not, we're not using the same bathroom. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. So that part I definitely can relate to. And then in addition, I tell her all the time, she needs to know how to advocate for herself. You know, mommy is always to back you up. Mommy is always here to support you. But you need to be the first line of defense. If something is not going right, if something is not happening at school the way you need it to with your teachers, if you don't understand something, you have to advocate for yourself first. And I really am getting into, I think as women, we have fallen into that space of being pleasers, right? We talk to a guy because we're uncomfortable hearing, you know, we're uncomfortable telling them no, we don't want to make them uncomfortable. So everything, but that's how you find yourself in compromising situations. Mm-hmm. So you have to be the first priority. You have to be the first person to advocate for yourself and say, you know, no, I'm not interested. Like it was one Valentine's Day, you know, when she was in middle school, this little boy got her something and she felt obligated to get him something back. And I was like, well, why? Did you ask him for something? And she said, well, no, well, he gave it to me and I don't want to make him upset. And girl, forget that little boy. No, you don't have to get him anything. Advocate for yourself and speak up about how you feel and what you want. And I think that, you know, trying to drive that, especially as we get into those teen years of, you know, starting to date and all that other stuff, use your voice. You want to say no, I don't like you, then say no, I don't like you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go out with you.
Right. Yeah, you know, my daughter is the same way. She has a little boyfriend, but I told her, I was like, you can have a boyfriend, but you can't date. Yeah, I tell her that all the time. I was like, don't forget that part. Like, I didn't say you could date, but so they like want to go hang out. I'm like, well, mama's going too. Because I got to teach you how to do this, you know? And so, but I totally agree. I catch myself trying to kind of counteract culture codes, like what women today should be doing as far for men to like them, like you said. And so I talked to her a lot about this, like just because that's what culture says is what you should be doing, that doesn't mean that's what's right, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, that is a big topic too now in the household, because understanding, you know, because I know I that's where I give her a lot of perspective from me, just because, again, I didn't have those talks with my mom. So I learned the hard way in those situations. So giving her those talks and giving that perspective, I'm hoping will help her to make a better decision than I did. You know,
and see with you, I'm just the opposite. Like I would prefer her not have a boyfriend and her date. I was watching Chris Lee Knows Best, and this may be a bad example because I think they in jail, but I was watching Chris Lee Knows Best. The little boy, they are in jail, right? he had a crush on this little girl on one episode, and he wanted to go out on a date, and he was young. He may have been like 12 or something, and the mom and the sister went, and they took him to the ice cream parlor, and it got me to thinking a lot of the reason I believe that Black women and Black men have the tension that they have in dating is because we're told you don't need no boyfriend, keep your mind on them books and off them boys. And, you know, we give that narrative to them, and we tell them, you don't need to be liking boys. You don't need to be paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think that if I paid a little more attention to it when I was her age, maybe I would be married. I didn't care about it. You know, I liked a little boy and I went about my business, but I want her to be able to have healthy relationships and to know what toxicity in a relationship looks like, to be able to identify those triggers. So by the time she's 16, 17, 18 years old, I feel like I'm gonna be a little too late trying to guide her in that. Yeah. So like when she wants to go out with the boy, I have let her go on a date before, and they've done this group thing where it's been, you know, a couple of her friends and a couple of his friends, and they all, you know, they'll meet up at the skating rink, whatever the case is. But I leave that open because I feel like she's going to do it anyway. Yeah. And I would rather door be open for her to talk to me about it, and so that I can kind of manage her emotions with it, than her do it and then it go all wrong. And then that's another reason why they say to me, we don't like good guys. Well, no, because we've been sneaking around. We were 16 years old, and now when we're able to do it, it's not no fun because there's nothing to sneak. So we don't get that same feeling about, you know, the guys and going out. So I think that, and I'm not advising any parent, do what works in your household.
Absolutely. I know, like, absolutely.
For me and mine, it helps for us to be able to talk about it. It's normal for you to like boys. It's normal for you to be attracted to him. Let's talk about all of those feelings and emotions and hormones that you have. That's taking us back to having those conversations that make me real uncomfortable. But like, let's talk about it so that you don't find yourself making bad decisions. And when you make bad decisions, you're not afraid to come back and talk to me about those so that we can correct them and you don't have to relive those things. Yeah. And I think that that for us is the space where we, you know, I have to catch myself like, girl, why you being boy crazy? And it's like, she's not being boy crazy. She can't be
right.
Yeah.
You know?
No. And I completely agree with you. I always had more guy friends growing up than I did girlfriends because I just don't deal with the silly girl drama. I never did. Didn't like it then. Don't like it now. You know, and it's awful that it still occurs in your workplace and you got working with 40 and 50 year old women. However, I would rather just not, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, just talking to other mothers of teens, you know, they always say, well, when are you going to start letting your daughter date? Da, 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 da. And I'm like, whether she dates or have guy friends, I always welcome it. And why do I welcome it? Because I don't want my baby to go to college and be this wild child. I want her to be able to learn how to communicate with kids. And she still may, Lord knows, I hope she don't. Yeah. But I still want to teach her. I want her to be in my space so I can teach her how to manage her emotions. So I can give her some tools that she can have in interacting with guys and how she can not necessarily, I don't want to say pig, but that's kind of how it is. You know, when you are dating somebody, this is what they look like, or this guy's acting like this. Remember this situation. Like, I want to be there to be able to guide her, talk with her through it. So when she goes to college or whatever she decides to do after high school, that she has some type of tools and remembrance of how she needs to maneuver when she's interacting. So when people, you know, certain people say no 18 or 19 or out of my house, you know, again, respectfully, that is their choice. And respectfully, this is my choice because this is what works in our home, right? I know my child and I know how she moves. You know, just within the last year and a half of high school, just her meeting all walks of life of guys, right? Mm-hmm. Guy friends, cool guys, guys that like, you know, we've had conversations. And I mean, I've had to say, girl, you need to kick his butt to the curb. That ain't what you want. Like, compare this one to this one. This one's the one, I don't care how nerdy or weird he is or whatever, but he's showing you all his attention. That is what you want. Somebody that's going to show you attention, not somebody to talk to you only on the phone at night. What is that, you know? Yeah. And there was one, we had an aha moment one time. I won't be able to share that on here, but we did have one aha moment one time, and you know, I had to compare the guy to something else. And she was just like, oh, yeah, that ain't what you want. Like, so just being able to have that open dialogue with our daughters is so important because, you know, Ava, you know, even when she started her cycle, she was coming home and saying, well, people say you can't take a bath when you have your cycle because your water is going to be bloody. Girl, it ain't that much blood coming out of your body. So we need to take it to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? That's not true. Share that because kids talk about stuff and they say stuff that people, they done heard their people say or whatever.
And they be wrong. She's
comfortable enough for me to ask me these questions so I can tell her the truth. If not, she would have been taking showers the whole time she was on her cycle for the rest of her life, right?
Yeah.
Jocelyn had a thing where she told me that, mommy, you know, if you drink lemon juice, that it pauses your period. I said, excuse me. She said, lemon juice, it stalls your cycle. I said, well, baby, who told you that? She said, her best friend told her. And I said, well, don't you think lemon would be a scarcity? Like, we wouldn't have enough lemons on this planet if that were actually true. And she was like, but mommy, it works. And 3 days later, it works. It works. I said, you also have an abnormal cycle. So let's give it another couple days. But that does not. And I told her, I was like, the reason I leave the door open for you to talk to me is no offense, but your friends are stupid. I remember my
they don't be knowing where they get this information from.
Girl, I don't know if my friend got it from a movie or what it was, but she said if you jump backwards 10 times after you have sex, you can't get pregnant.
What? Oh no.
I shared that with her. Like, these are the stupid things that our friends say when we're your age because we don't know no better.
Right,
so I would rather you be able to talk to me and know the truth and be able to talk about realistic expectations and outcomes than for you to be talking to little girls and tell you to drink lemon juice. You're going to have the worst acid reflux ever. Now you belching and your throat burning, girl. No,
yes. I'm gonna go to some questions real quick, ladies. That have been asked over here in the chat. Someone asked, Daisha asked, how old our girls are. They are all 15. 15. They will all be 16 this year. Jessica, when is your baby's birthday?
No, she turns 16 next year.
She turns 16 next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Ava will be 16 in September and Jocelyn will be 16 in November, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So 15 and 16. The next question, Jessica, can you read that please for me?
It says, yes, I agree. It's good for them to be able to express themselves in a good manner. Growing up, I didn't really get to do that with my mom. My mom was strict. So there wasn't a question in that one.
Okay. So just a statement. Yeah. A lot of people talk to my mom. A lot of my girlfriends were always very comfortable. She was the mom that talked to many little girls about like cycles and periods. I mean, and boys and sex, right? You know, and my mom was just that mom, right? And, Ava and her friends have said, Ava, your mama be doing too much. Why your mama be saying that? Because I'm going to keep it real. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything for anybody. I'm going to keep it real. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's important. I think every kid needs to have some adult that's just really going to be honest with them, respectfully, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And not trying to overstep parents' boundaries, but just to tell the truth. And as long as you hanging with my child, hey, you going to always get the real. And that's just me. That's just me. Did somebody say something?
Oh no, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Did you say something? Did I forget? Okay. What does this one say? Self advocacy is what?
Pivotal.
Can you all see that? Pivotal, yes, very much so. And Ava really had to step into that last year when she had the two black women teachers that, again, to me were bullies, and you know they were intentional on the freshmen communicating, and I'm with that, right? But if you're not, if the kid is not comfortable communicating because of your communication style, then you shouldn't ding the kid for that. You know what I'm saying? Let the child grow with you and understand your movement, you know. But last year, her freshman year of high school is when I really had to be on her about like using your voice, advocating for yourself, expressing yourself to adults. As long as you do it respectfully, I got your back. You know what I'm saying? So in every aspect, even relationships with their peers, you know, being able to express yourself is important for sure. Mm-hmm. What do you all think about that?
I agree. I think as long as like you... Because we aren't always going to be there. And we have to know that when they go off to college, that they are going to be able to speak up for themselves. And if there's something wrong, like, I don't want my daughter to be made to feel like just anything. And she never feel like she can express it or tell them, like, look, you're treating me badly and I don't like it. Because that's... I mean, if I don't make you feel that way, I expect for you not to make my child feel that way. If she tells me, we're going to have a problem. But also then I'm going to be kind of upset that you didn't say something. Like, why you let somebody treat you like this? That's not okay.
And that's something that Jocelyn and I talk about too, is you teach people how to treat you.
That's right.
Number and even more so to your point, adults aren't always right. So if you feel, and I think her dad and I have done a really good job teaching her to listen to her inner self and her intuition when she knows that something is not right, to actually be able to say something, always respectfully. But you don't have to do something just because an adult told you to do it, especially if you know that it's wrong. And sometimes I think that we've been brought up in that old school, way where it's like all children are to be seen and not heard. And, you know, you don't talk back to adults, and it's not talking back when you are responding to something that you don't think is right or something that is not safe for you. So advocacy goes a long way in that, that it's a very multifaceted thing. When you teach, it's helping them find their voice. You teach them how to speak up for themselves, be it little girls in their classroom, be it teachers that are not right. I feel like Jocelyn's cheer coach is a bully. That's just me. You know, like you turn around and you look at these situations where there are adults who think that because they're adults, it's okay for them to talk to kids any kind of way. It's okay for them to treat them any kind of way. And it's just not an okay situation. So, and advocacy is beyond pivotal, and just it's I think the foundation of how they develop and how they communicate with other people and live their lives. They need to be able to speak up for themselves.
And that's something that really bothers me when I see parents doing their kids like that, because we forget what we put into them is what they put back out. Right. So if you yell at them all the time, your kids are going to start yelling at other people. Right. Because, and so that really bothers me when I see parents treat their kids mean, because like I remind parents, your kid is still a human. Your kid is still a person. Like, just because they are your child and you are the parent does not mean that they don't deserve anything, you know? And so that really bothers me when I see parents like just being overly, being, you know, just like being rude to their kids, basically, you know.
Yeah, I think it's something to be stated.
Because we unfortunately are a sum of our parents, and until we know better, you know, we won't do better. So when you know better, you'll do better, right? So there are things that we may have said when we were kids that we didn't want to carry over to, you know, when we get married or when we have children or have a family. But until you acknowledge and recognize some of those things, you do like accidentally just kind of pick them up. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that I've learned with Ava also, you know? So yeah, I agree. Kelly, were you about to say something else?
Just that, you know, it's one thing to be stern and it's another thing to just be mean. Right. So like I try not to talk to her when I'm upset. I try to get into a space where I'm not angry and I'm not mad, but I'm really seeking to understand what you do that for.
Right.
Like, what you say that for? Like, that, I want to understand it. So, we had a situation. I was picking her up from school. It was about 3 o'clock, pick her up same time every day. And I text her and said, "Where are you?" And she said, "Well, I'm with such and such and such and such." And I looked at my phone. And I got so mad that I called her and I said, "I didn't say who are you with, because clearly I don't know where they are either." I asked you, "Where were you? Like, where are you?" Because it was the pickup line, stuff get crazy over there. So I'm trying to make sure that we don't get caught in everything. And she was upset. She was like, "Well, you yelled at me." And I said, "Well, you didn't think before you answered. You didn't answer the question that I asked you." And I think one of the things we really have to pay attention to is common sense is not, it's a learned behavior. You have to teach your children how to think for themselves, think cognitively. You have to teach them how to really respond to things. So I'm really big on expressing that words matter and be intentional. Don't say things that you don't mean. Understand the meaning of the words that you use when you use them, so that when you're getting your point across or you're trying to get your point across, you're saying exactly what you mean to say. So I'm saying to you, and this is something that we've drilled for forever, for as long as this child talked. So I was like, "Why would you tell me who you were with? And that's not what I asked you."
Right.
And it took, we had a rough evening that night. But a couple of weeks ago, we revisited it. And we're, you know, she said, well, no, I understand why you were frustrated. This is what I was thinking when I answered. And I was like, I understand that maybe I should not have yelled at you, but I needed you to, first of all, I take it back. Let's backtrack. You know, when I realized she was a teenager, when she stopped having urgency, these children,
none at all. And my baby did the same thing with when I was going to Hillsborough and pick her up, and I have to wait. Well, why am I waiting on you? You should be out here waiting on me, ma'am. And I mean, we've had those situations for sure.
They do nothing with urgency. Nothing at all.
Well, when you want something, when you need that $5,
you want us to do it immediately. Absolutely.
Like, no, ma'am, you will not rush me.
That's my backtrack. That's my backtrack to the moment I realized I had a teenager when she stopped moving with any sense of urgency, and everything was like at turtle speed. And it was just like,
that is not just me then. Because I just wonder.
Me and you both.
These are the conversations that I am thankful for, because I realize, okay, it's not just me.
For sure.
I asked somebody a couple weeks ago, like, is there a support group for mothers?
Teenagers? I've been thinking about getting one together for sure for mothers of teenagers for sure. There needs to be one put together for sure.
Because at this rate, I need a support group for mothers or an AA meeting. Something's got to get.
For sure. Yeah. Jessica, will you read Daisha's statement for me, please?
Yes, it says, Mom, however, always told me to speak up and stand up for myself, but just couldn't with her. But I noticed it's different with my little sister. Mom got a bit softer. Yeah.
So I'm the baby. And I just got back from visiting my oldest sister in LA. And we were talking about how different our experiences were with our mother. Mm-hmm. And
What's the age gap?
5 years.
Okay.
It's a 5-year difference. And so there's one in between us, but I'm the baby and she's the oldest. And I got away with bloody murder. Mm-hmm. I got away with bloody murder. My sister says that her childhood was the great experiment. So
first one always is, I think.
Yeah.
She said it was the great experiment. It was very, very different. So I definitely agree that the more children you have, that parenting style definitely changes, and it differs to match the child, like my sister.
The personality, for sure.
She had 3 girls, and we are all very, very, very different women now. We were different teenagers. Mm-hmm. Lord, today I was hell, y'all. I gave them such a problem. And I think at some point my mom just threw her hands up and was like, yeah, just go. Just whatever.
I ain't got the energy. Just
We have a good question from Jeremy. He said, please speak to the dynamic between the daughters and their fathers. I think this is really good. So I can let you guys answer. I can go after you guys if you all want to go first.
Go ahead. I'll take a minute.
Jocelyn's dad is one of my best friends. We done been through the dirt. We were we were together 3 years before we had her, but Jocelyn has a brother who is 11 days older than her. And that kind of solidified us never being together that way. And we had to grow to the space that we are now. So their relationship, I won't say it was tumultuous. I would say that she was very aware at an early age of him discovering how to be a father. So and him learning, he didn't have a dad. So, and him learning how to be a father, being an only child, being raised by a single mother, not having his grandfather or anybody around, there was no male influence there besides the YMCA. And so him having to learn how to be a dad, we often say that the word of the day is grace, that, you know, she can't expect for him to be me and she can't expect for me to be him. But it requires them to get to know each other. One of the things that I'll say is I raised my child to be able to live without me. And that is something that we talk about on a regular basis, because if I'm not here, because only God knows, if I'm not here, you have to know what to do, how to do it, or how to figure that shit out. Like, you've got to figure it out.
That's right.
So she is that space. And I often would tell her when they bump heads about things, you know, if I'm gone, he's what you got. So you need to work at the relationship with him. And just like I tell him, you need to work at the relationship with her. It's a bit challenging because he's not in Nashville. So it's a long distance type of situation. So they need to lean more into conversation. I think it's getting better the older that she gets, because she is using her voice to, you know, speak on the things that she doesn't like or the things that make her uncomfortable, again, in a respectful way. But they've had their challenges. And I think that at this point, it's only gotten better. It's only gotten better.
So my situation is somewhat similar to yours, Kelly, by way, you know, me and Ava's father are both from Bowling Green. He's a couple years younger than me, but, you know, we went to the same schools all the way through high school. And we dated for a short period of time, got pregnant 6 months in, which was very soon, and didn't stay together. And then we broke up when I was 6 months pregnant, right? And for me, not ever imagining being a single mom, it was kind of, you know what I'm saying? So I think we both kind of went through a very hard, difficult phase. And, you know, never anything, always, you know, my door has been open to, you know, he and his family for Ava forever. Never had any of that kind of custody stuff. Just has always just been an open door, you know. So as, you know, he was her first child, you know, and as, you know, she was growing, he was growing, you know, he acknowledges that he's not a great communicator. And, you know, from the day she was born, my advice was just call her every day so she can hear your voice, because we've not lived in the same city, right? Since after college or whatever. And he didn't. And I kind of think sometimes he went through a phase of feeling like I was telling him what to do when I really wasn't. I was just trying to advise you on what, you know, what our child needed, right? And he's grown and he's matured. And I remember, you know, an older man telling me at one of the schools I was teaching at when I first moved here, he was just asking questions. And, you know, he asked me how old her father was. And I told him, and he said, he hasn't gotten it yet, but he's going to get it. And he won't get it really until she's like a teenager. You know what I'm saying? But at this point, he's married and he has a bonus son, and he has a daughter, another little girl as well. And, you know, Ava's always seen him every other weekend up into the pandemic. But it's been kind of a roller coaster relationship. You know, she's been to therapy. We know that some of her trust issues come from that relationship with her father. Not that he's done anything bad to her, but it's just kind of the lack thereof, that communication desiring that support, being more intentional, because it is a long distance relationship, right? So your movement has to be intentional. That communication, that picking up the phone and call and texting is so important at this point, has been the whole time, right? And because of the lack thereof, it has kind of caused a uncomfortable place, I think, for them. And then the kind of gave they missed each other because when they was ready to see each other, it was all smiles and they were happy. But it also gave her that voice that she wanted to say she didn't want to go. I don't want to come this weekend or da da da. And we knew as she became a teenager that that time going every other weekend would be less, right? And now at 15, working and still in sports and school, she hadn't seen this past weekend was the first weekend she's seen him since New Year's Day. And with that being said, when they seen each other, it's always this little silly smile, right? Because they do miss each other, but that's a similarity that they have, that communication. It's a breakdown in it, right? And I encourage her all the time to call, to text, and be more present, but she feels like she's the child. He should be doing that. And I can't argue with her, but like I said, you're going to be a young adult soon. Who's going to do it then? Or are y'all just not going to communicate, right? And I've had to say to her, I love you. And mama's love is way different from anybody's love, right? And he loves you too, but just because his love looks different from mine doesn't mean just as much as I do. You know what I'm saying? So even when he had his baby girl, his little sister, she kind of went through this really awkward phase, like to the point where it made me cringe when they talk because it's like she didn't want to talk to him. And I just was just like, what is this? Weird. And she cried and he picked me up and loved me like he does my little sister. And did he do this? Did he do that? And I'm like, it's Avon. But
Tavis, we're getting every other word.
Don't know if she lost it.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
Yeah.
now you every other
Can you
word
hear
of
me?
the last part. Yeah.
All right, well, I'm not gonna start over. It probably didn't need to be said. But to answer Jeremy's question, I feel like a girl child needs their father just as much as their mother, just like a boy child needs their mother just as much as their father. Does that make sense? And I feel like a father can give a daughter something that a mom can't give their daughter, right? And that's that to me, what a man, to me, this is my opinion, what a man should display for their daughter is.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I'll go ahead and go. My story is, like I said, it's along. So I didn't grow up in Bowling Green. So when I moved here, it was a different world. I moved here from Somerset, Kentucky. Not a lot of people look like me. So when I came here, seeing more Black people, it was very different. I met my child's father coming out of class one day on campus. I didn't know him from Adam. Like I said, I'm not from here, so I didn't know like a lot of people. I went to high school here, but he went to an opposite high school, so I never met him until that time. So again, same like Tevis, we dated for maybe 6, 7 months, and then I was pregnant. We broke up way before I even had Anaya. In that time, went through, of course, I never even thought I was going to have kids until I was married or have kids, period. So kids weren't even on my radar. But after I had her dad went to jail for 2 years. Then he moved away. So I've always had a good relationship with his mom. And so in that time, she was still being able to see her mom, but I was also one of ones. I was not taking my child to a jail. Some parents may think that's different, but I wanted my child to be a child. I didn't want her to introduce that environment to her. She knew she had a dad. I never kept that. I wasn't one of those parents to be like, oh, you don't have a dad or nothing like that. And so she had met her dad before he had went to jail, but he was very sporadic in her life at that point in time too. So up it wasn't, you know, my goal was always to have some type of co-parenting. Our relationship has not been the best. It's only for me, it has only been about Anaya. You know, I had that one to where he felt like, oh, I was still trying to get with him. That was not the case. I just tried to co-parent for what is best for her in her future and growing up. So that has also caused me to have to humble myself too and apologize to her for any feelings that she may have felt if she felt like I was trying to keep her dad from her or trying to cut him out of her life. But my position was I'll never talk illy about your dad, but I also didn't just talk about him either. He always knew that communication was open. He could call her, text her. Again, like I said, I kept her in touch with his side of the family through his mom. Like she would go over there. His mom really stepped in the 2 years he was gone to prison. And so she built a great and still does have a great relationship with her. And so like it's been the last couple years has been a lot of prayer just for him to be the father she needs for her, right? I don't yes, and for our relationship to progress so we can actually it used to be we couldn't even have a conversation because he was aggressive towards me, like not physically but just verbally. And so we couldn't really talk about much because it was kind of like Tevis said, like he always felt like I guess I was telling him what to do and what he couldn't do, but that wasn't it. I'm just telling you, I want our daughter to be able to see us get along and have good memories. And if you aren't going to physically be here, these are things you can do, but and the door is still open. But it has progressed, it's gotten better. You know, it we had a change. She actually decided that she wanted to spend 1 week there and 1 week here this past school year. And that's been a very big transition for me because it was like every other week. And so, but I think she needed that too. So I had to honor that. I had to put my feelings aside about it because I was like, I don't want that change to happen. Like, you can't, you know? And so, but I had to realize that she may need that. She may need that catch up from to understand the other part of her. Where she didn't have that growing up before. So, you know, I had to let that be what it was. I had to pray about it again. I keep her prayed up when she's gone over there. And, you know, I just pray that
So that's something she's doing now, where you do the 1 week on, 1 week off. Okay.
So yeah, and that was a big transition. But also I feel like it was kind of like the Lord preparing me for when she goes to college because like you know, I always say like she's my first testimony, right? So my, you know, it's like I'm a mother first, then I have my job, then everything else. And so, but I feel like the Lord was preparing me because, you know, I can't forget that I still have to live. I still live, but you know what I'm saying? My whole schedule is built around her, pretty
Around
much.
hers,
And
yeah.
so, yeah, so her not being here was threw that off tremendously. It's like, okay, when she's not here, you know, I can do my schedule accordingly. When she is here, it's like you're back into that routine. And I'm a pretty routine person. I can handle chaos, but I like for the most of my life to be pretty routine. And so, you know, it was a hard adjustment. But again, like I said, I had to step my feelings aside and realize this is probably what she needs for her. And let that be decision. That was her decision, you know. And understand her to understand that it's okay that you made that decision. Like it didn't have to be like this always.
And it's hard, I think, for them too, especially when they're not in the house every day and they see, you know, what mommy does. Mommy does this. She makes sure I have food. She takes me to school. She listens to the girl drama. She takes me to practice. She shows up to all my games. She helps me with my hair. She helps me with my makeup. She helps me pick out my clothes. She helps teach me how to cook. She helps teach me how to clean. And they see all of these things. And then, you know, when dad comes around, if he hasn't, it turns into like, well, he's kind of just here. You know what I mean? So like, I taught her how to ride a bike. I taught her how to tie her shoes. I taught her how to count. I taught her, you know, her numbers and her alphabet and all of those things. And it's not, it's different when you're there every day. Yeah. And then it's different, you know, when you come on the weekends and on holidays. So I think it's good that Anaya is getting like that experience with him and that he's getting it too. So like, if anything, I think it'll make the relationship between the two of you better because he sees what you deal with, what you go through. Yeah. You know, she may not be the same, exactly the same with him, but like my thing, if you going over there for half for a week, you better give him the same teenager that you giving me.
Like, right. Yeah.
He better give that. You gotta he gotta tell you two or three times to get something done too, you know. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's different. It's a way different experience. And you know, her dad has a girlfriend. He's always had a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. This one I'm not very fond of. The last one, I kind of wish he had stayed with her because mm-hmm. she and Jocelyn had a pretty decent relationship. They were pretty cool. This new one is just young and not very smart, but you know, it's just really one of those spaces. We talk a lot about, you know, having significant others and having spouses. I've never been one to bring men around her. In 15 years, she's met 3 men that I've dated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I say met, there was only one that she spent significant time with, but we were also looking to buy a house. We were talking about getting married and those mm-hmm. types of things. And so to me, it was important to see how they interacted, how she felt about him, how she felt being around him. And he was great with her. He would buy silly string and they would have silly string fights all over the house randomly, you know? Yeah. So those were things that, I think they related more because he was a big ass kid, and maybe that, they did so well together. But other than that, I've just always been particular about it. I've always been.
I think you have to when you have. Yeah, especially when you have girls, like, and nowadays any children, right? Because people are just out here wilding, but you know, mm-hmm. girls like get attached, I think, differently, you know, to males, especially because I think it takes girls a longer time sometimes to open up emotionally. And so once they do that, it's, you know, but yeah, I agree. It's been a long road with her dad, you know, when he's had girlfriends. Look, I'm very cordial because again, anything that part of his life and all those things have nothing to do with me. But like mm-hmm. I would tell them, it doesn't have anything to, what y'all do has nothing to do with me until it involves her. Like if something goes on with her, then I'm now in it, you know, because you're bringing in an outside person. And again, I don't want anybody making my child away feel a way that I don't actively try to make her feel, right? If you're going all the way to be mean to my child, that's a no-go. But I expected the same from anybody I dated. Like, that would not be, I would expect that same response from him. Like, you see her acting a certain way or being, you know, you need to say something, and I would be okay with that, you know? But it's just, it has been a lot of, you know, I understand when my grandmother told me it matters who you have kids with. Okay.
Everybody, it does.
It matters. Because even if your ideals aren't the same, if you can't talk about anything, it's a long road.
Or being on the same page, like it confuses a child. If it's like, well, I'm going to do this at my house, but I can't do this at that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying? We do things differently at each house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Tevis is on. That's why it's wise. Okay.
Y'all didn't want to make that tonight.
Uh-oh, it's Echo.
Hold on, what's happening?
Is it still there going?
Still there going?
All right, are y'all still hearing the echo?
I think if you turn your mic.
All right, what about now?
No, this is good.
Okay, I think it was because Tebbish was on, Coach Tebbish was still on here, but you all did an amazing job.
Thank you. I've learned a lot.
And I appreciate you all rocking it out and continuing to go on, even though I wasn't on in the beginning. I appreciate you all.
No problem. It's a great conversation. I enjoyed it. I tell Tevis to get that teen mom group started so we can have our round table talks.
For sure. It's ever changing, right? Like every day. It's every quarter of school is another challenge. Or something is different. So now it's the whole driver's permit thing, and we're preparing to get a driver's license and talking about cars and car safety and driving safety. And, you know, I told someone earlier that motherhood is a beautiful burden because there is an anxiety and sometimes fear that you just do not understand.
Yes,
being worried, and every time they leave the house, you know, are they making sure they're going to get back safely? Are they making good decisions? So that's our thing. You know, when she leaves me now, make good decisions.
Yeah, I said my prayer life increased exponentially when she turned 13. Because I remember calling my grandma. I guess that would be my. I have a teenager mama. I called my grandma one morning. I was like, Grandma. I said, was it like this when I was growing up? I said, because I don't like it. Like, she was like, oh, you understand now. I was like, yeah, because I was worried. And I know I was worrying myself for nothing. I like my daughter's got a pretty good head on her shoulders. But, you know, just around COVID and when they were going back to school, kids were struggling, you know. And I saw a little bit of that depression in my daughter. But I know it was because the lack of interaction she was having. But I was just worried every day, you know. I was like, whew. I was just praying like 10 times a day. And I was like, we got to make it out of this because this was not
a good thing. It's an ongoing conversation from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. Okay, Lord, yes. Get her right. Okay, Lord, get my mind right. You know, get right. Me together. And just trying to figure out how to maneuver as a parent. One of the things that I do, though, that I think is extremely helpful is that I ask Jocelyn, what do you need for me to be a better parent? What do you need for me to be a better mom? And some days she'll be like, nothing, you're great. And other days she got a laundry list of stuff. So I try not to ask her too often. But I do ask her, like, you know, where are we today? What do you need from me? And some days it's as simple as a hug, or, you know, you need to be a little bit softer, or, you know, like she'll tell me. But we just weren't raised in a time or a space where we could tell our parents, well, I think you should do this with me.
Right.
You know, so I because I haven't done this before, I thought it would be best to ask the person who's on the receiving end of it. And she shares openly when I do ask. So that's helpful.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That is beautiful. And I think that's that being, you know, I'm glad that we've opened up, like, talking about that being a safe space for people, because I think, again, kids need that. You know, I think that's one of the, if dads could get on board with that and be all up in that space too, I think that would be magic for our kids, you know? So.
Hey, Coach Tevis. She went back out.
Yeah, I think.
Well, okay, so I guess we're wrapping it up. Everybody's trying to wrap it up, but it was a great conversation today.
Yeah.
I think Tevis wanted us to tell at the end kind of like what you do and any businesses that you run or products that you have that you want other people to know about. So go ahead.
Yes, I don't have any products, but I do, like Tevis and I both came through the same coaching program getting our master's. I do professional development, and I also have a certificate in diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace. So I do create content for online coursework for DE&I in the workplace. I like I said, I do professional development and training workshops for different corporate entities and small groups and nonprofits. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Dr. Kelly Martin, and I'm just glad to be here today. Thanks, you know, for the opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. So as y'all know, I'm Jessica Rogers. I said before, I am a licensed clinical mental health therapist here in Bowling Green. That's my main gig. I am also one of the co-hosts of the Godly View Soul Sisters, and we meet every other Saturday. Right now we're on our break, but we start back up again in May. So check out the show with Revan as our producer. Of course, his hands and everything, but if you have some time, check us out. It's at every other Saturday, 6 p.m. We have some great conversations on there as well. And again, I am very thankful just independently of this conversation, because I think it is always a great space when you can connect with people and talk about things that you have in common or things that you're struggling with and know that you're not alone. I think that's really important sometimes to just know that you're not alone, or kids are out there doing the same thing and we're just not making this stuff up out of our like, is somebody else dealing with this? Yeah, so I appreciate that.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You guys sound like you all are talking underwater since I've gotten here, so I can't really make out what you're saying, but I apologize from the pit of my heart for it disconnecting like that. I don't know how far you guys got, but I know this is gonna, I knew this was gonna be a lengthy conversation. But thank you both for being here and being present today. Thank you guys for carrying the show, even though my technology is acting crazy. You all did just share what you guys do and who you are and all that stuff. Okay, great. Thank you. We may have a part two on a day that Ava doesn't have a game if you all are open and willing, and we may have to put a spin to it. But needless to say, thank you guys for being here and being a part. Thank you to all the audience that came. Please like and share, follow us, talk about it to everybody. Many of you guys know that I do coaching and consulting with Savannah Empowerment, and I'm just going to continue my journey through that. So if you all know any early child care programs or any entrepreneurs who are in the pursuit of a career change or new just support on leadership and organizational development, please send them my way. Otherwise, I pray that you all have a safe week, a happy week, and a great weekend, and keep loving on your babies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Real Talk Monday podcast. Now it's time to hear from the purpose pusher, Andrea Puri, with your weekly words of affirmation.
Okay. So let's do this month. Affirmations. I am marching into success. I am marching into more than enough. I am marching into my miracles. I expect and I anticipate greater. I receive greater. I have favor. I am favored, and favor follows me, goes before me, and surrounds me. This is your month of March affirmations. Have a blessed day.